Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
6:12 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Boeing hasn't had a good run lately. Had issues with a plane.
That's like super understatement, right? Not a good run.
No. Door blowing off a plane earlier this year. We've had the issue with the Starliner not being able to bring astronauts home. Now tens of thousands of Boeing workers as of this morning are on strike.
Boeing offered a 25% pay raise over 4 years, but workers demanding more, claiming they haven't had a raise in 16 years. The union's initial demand was for a 40% raise over 3 years and a return to pensions instead of 401k contributions.
Yeah, Boeing offering about a 25% wage over 4 years. The union wanting more. A strike expected to shut down production of the company's best-selling commercial jetliners.
If they can pay a CEO $33 million a year, is that the best they can really do?
So the union said 96% of members voted to strike as of this morning.
Okay, make me average person care about this, right? Outside of just, you know, we all watch how other people's workplaces develop. Certainly, if you're in a union, you'll want to see how this plays out. Do they have the leverage? All things like that. But just everyday person, does this affect me in any way?
Well, ultimately, if you're not making airplanes and airplanes stall, then you have older models,
right,
that are continuing to be put out. At some point, it'll ultimately likely end up costing more to buy a plane ticket. The longer you have these planes sitting out there, you might have less being used. Now, that's long term.
Long term. It's not tomorrow, but ultimately, if Boeing is unable to produce and fill the orders that it has with major airlines, you could feel that in the travel season.
Right. Isn't this going to hurt the investments too? If you're an investor, stock in, it's going to be ouchy.
Absolutely. Speaking of not having a good run,
right?
Probably on the investment front either.
When you have one of the largest jet makers in the world losing production in some of the most valuable assets it has, it's not good.
And they may have room. Boeing on record after that vote saying, okay, we're ready to continue talking. Sometimes you have the company push back and say, sorry, this was as good as it got. So we'll wait you out. But we'll see what they come up with here. 6:13 on Wisconsin's Morning News. WTMJ's Fall Home Improvement Showcase is here. And this week we're featuring Ridgetop Exteriors for all your exterior home improvement needs. Ridgetop Exteriors providing the best quality roofing, siding, windows, and doors expertly installed and at an affordable price. You can get a free estimate for your next project by logging on to ridgetopexteriors.com and check out our Home Improvement Showcase page on WTMJ.com to learn more.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Live in stereo with my main man, Jackson Cheerio.
How about that rookie phenom, Cheerio, making history Thursday night?
Pitch to Cheerio, fly ball right field. Back goes Yastrzemski, staring and gone! Jackson Cheerio, liftoff, a two-run home run. And he's 20-20 at the age of 20.
Someone's got to tell Ken Sommerfeld to turn his mic off.
Kent? Yes!
That two-run shot in the eighth put the Brewers up 3-0. That would be the final scores. They shut out the Giants. Frankie Montes gets the win, throwing 6 shutout innings. He's now 7-10. Devin Williams, the save, that's his 11th. But all the talk is about the other number 11.
Oh, Jackson!
Yes, 20 home runs, 20 steals, and just 20 years old, Skip.
It's just an incredible story. You know, I feel privileged to be part of it, to be honest with you. You know, and he's an amazing kid, which makes it beautiful to be around him. And then to just see the way he just stays after it. You know, he hadn't had the best series in the world necessarily, but just to see him stay after it and come up big like he does, and there's no moment too big for him.
And with that win, of course, we have a magic number. Oh, wait, what's that? Ooh, little Brewers buzz. Little Brewers buzz returning, and it's getting louder.
I don't know.
Interesting. It's back. The Brewers buzz is back. That's because the magic number, Greg, where are we at?
Seven.
Seven. to clinch the NL Central. Big weekend series against the Diamondbacks starts tonight right here on WDTMJ.
Big sports weekend ahead. Packers days away from playing the Colts at Lambeau Field. Barring the unforeseen, it will be newly acquired backup quarterback Malik Willis starting. And the scouting report we've gotten on this kid, not great.
When I was talking to folks around the Tennessee program, he's a great kid. Well-meaning and polite, soft-spoken.
I'm not interested in any of those
100%.
Things right now.
But are you familiar with the compliment sandwich?
Yes, right, yes. However, ESPN's Jen Latta on Wisconsin's Morning News earlier this week. So Jen reached out to sources with the Tennessee Titans, where Willis was last, and others who have followed him and his career. And you're not going to like this.
Struggles with football. That is an actual sentence I was given by someone who is familiar with his game. Struggles with football.
Come on.
That new Jeff Hatley defense better look pretty special on Sunday.
And it
could. Sounds like. And it could.
It could, right? Speaking of football Thursday night, the Bills roll the Dolphins 31-10. The big story of the night, Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback for the Dolphins, likely another concussion. This guy's had way too many concussions for this length of time in his career, especially. So I'm very curious to see what happens next to the future of Tua.
And the unranked Wisconsin Badgers welcome number 4 team in the land, the Alabama Crimson Tide, to Camp Randall on Saturday. Pretty tough to find anyone giving Wisconsin much of a chance.
Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback there at Wisconsin, simply has to have the game of his life.
Oh, you know about national championships? How many you won?
Well, I mean, technically we don't have any yet, but I mean, we
have 18, in case you're wondering. Wow. We've been busy. What y'all been doing up here? Making cheese? Y'all gonna wear them cheese hats at the game?
So when I look at Alabama going up to Wisconsin, they should win this game. Tyler Van Dyke, don't trust him. And Wisconsin's offense is still pretty bad.
It's a blowout.
I think it's a blowout.
Okay.
Come on.
Do you want some more? It's not hard to find.
What's with you, Mr. Sunshine, this morning? Blowing up Malik Willis, blowing up the Badgers.
It is what it is. I'll say this, listening to a handful of national pundits, Alabama is 2-0. But they're saying it's been an ugly 2-0.
Okay.
So this may not be the juggernaut that typically you would expect from Alabama. Badgers haven't had a great start either at 2-0. Kind of stumbling a little bit. Doesn't look like everything's in sync. So we'll see who shows up.
Boat race.
We don't know that.
Would be the upset of all upsets.
It would be amazing.
If Bucky pulls it out. It's an 11 a.m. kick on Saturday.
Did you have parent-teacher meetups this week?
Yes.
At the high school?
Conferences at the high school.
Yeah, yes. Where it's like kind of you meet the teacher type of thing.
Yes.
Here's the kind of class that I provide, and here's what the curriculum looks like.
And despite the fact that we put now 3 kids, my twins are high school seniors,
And
my oldest graduated 2 years ago. So pretty much know what I'm doing there, pretty much know all the teachers, but
right.
My wife insists that we go, go through the things.
So
yes.
We had ours earlier this week as well, and we didn't hit every teacher, but most of them. And one of the things I noticed in the hallways and in some of the classrooms, because you kind of mingle with other parents when you're in some of them, a lot of talk about the cell phones. This is becoming we talked about how this was becoming more and more of a thing. The idea of either banning or prohibiting cell phone use in our kids' district now, it's new this year and it's becoming a thing. It's required now that the high school, all kids have to put their cell phones in the caddy. In the little, you know, the little pouch caddy in the front of the classroom. You cannot have it at your desk during a class.
I saw a bunch of those at the high school in Greendale as well. I actually asked one of the teachers about it. She said for our particular school, it's not necessarily a mandate, more like teachers are encouraged to be consistent because you don't want one teacher being the mean teacher.
Right, yep.
Oh, Mrs. Johnson makes us put it on phones.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. So they would like to have some consistency. The district or the school has not dictated how they do it, but asked all of them to have a policy. So I saw a lot of those things.
In my kids' district, it's required in the caddy. In some of these other schools, Maguanago, student using cell phone use during the day is prohibited and during school-sponsored events. Like, so it's even stricter than the caddy use. So there are now petitions put together.
The students are striking back.
Maguanago has got a petition. My kids' district has a petition. Hundreds and hundreds of kids signing this, demanding. I think some parents have even signed these petitions demanding that the kids have their cell phones on their person during class.
Well, first of all, I appreciate student activism.
Sure.
Right.
Of course.
Take it into your hands if this is something. I mean, before you start a petition, when my kids have talked about that, I always say, like, have you had any conversations first? Like, before you start circulating petitions and doing whatever, You know, is there a group? Is it the student council or a group of you that have met with people and had a conversation first? But if you've done your due diligence and you don't like what's happening, all right, fine. Start your petition. I don't know. I find it. I would think some students might actually be relieved.
Right. It's one less thing.
And then they don't have to be the one. Well, my mom says I can't have phone on me in school or whatever. Like if everybody's playing by the same rules, makes it easier for all of them.
Yeah. It gives you a nice excuse. I'm surprised at the number of parents that I have heard even during the other day when we were in the school that were upset about this. I think it's fantastic. I feel maybe I'm in the unpopular position, but I love the fact that they're throwing all their phones on there. You know how I feel about it. I just feel like phones are completely taking over our kids' behavior and everything about our children's minds are being manipulated at times and addicted to these phones. So I think it's a great opportunity to like break loose of that. But there is a contingent and a faction that says, look, no, this is not A, they need it because of their ADHD or whatever. Like they need it for their health purposes. Other people saying because they need to be able to communicate with their kid at all hours of the day. To each their own, I guess, in their opinions. I kind of like having them in the caddy.
I think it's hard to find an argument against that. If you want to say the kids can't bring the phones into school, particularly
that's
at the high school
strict.
Level, that's pretty tough. And we've talked about how if your kids are in activities or whatever, it's not like when we were kids, like you found your way home for dinner, right?
Right.
But now it's like drop off, pick up and practice changed. And we moved this and some schools communicate, some coaches will communicate even through social media.
Right.
Hey, check the Facebook page or check the Instagram. We'll tell you where the meet is going to be or whatever. So there's a level of need there that we shouldn't just shrug off. That said, I don't know how you find an argument against leaving it at the front of the room.
Right. Yeah, I think ultimately that you're always going to see some pushback, but I think eventually there's going to have to be some type of acceptable guideline in place. You can't just have everyone. I mean, we've seen it. Look at it here. Like just adults, we can't control it. Like we're constantly staring at our phones.
I can't tell you how often Eric's looking over at me and you're actually talking and I don't even hear you. In the break or whatever, because I'm...
I always tease my wife, because whenever she's like fully invested in something on her phone, I'm like, I could say anything right now and you won't hear any of it. And I've tried that just to see, well, I told you I was going on a weekend trip of fishing and all that.
Yeah, you were right here. Oh, man, I got to use that, except usually it's me on the other end.
Right,
all of a sudden there's silence and you notice no one's talking anymore. And then you just have the stare. I thought we were talking about this.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry.
What? Well, I don't know. Pancake just texted me.
Yeah. It's a great,
really funny meme going around now. I needed to see this right now. 6:27 on Wisconsin's Morning News. 2020 for the 20-year-old Milwaukee Brewer. Sports at 6:45.
Big night, Sunday night, the Emmys.
This year marks some big anniversaries for some big shows. Happy Days turns 50, The West Wing 25, and Sunday night's Emmys leaning into that, much like they did with some reunions at the last Emmys, which was actually earlier this year because of last year's strikes.
You might see your favorite TV moms or TV villains all come together to just celebrate the genre.
That's Emmys executive producer Dion Harmon. The Emmys air live Sunday night on ABC, hosted by father and son Dan and Eugene Levy. Jason Nathanson, ABC News. Hollywood.
I am looking forward to seeing the Levies together.
Yep,
they talked about leaning into that, you know, saluting TV's most memorable characters. That's the plan. And you heard the producer there. She said, like, that's not easy to figure out.
It was a big conversation. I mean, we have, you know, healthy conversations about, like, who should be those moms? Who should be those TV dads? Who are the right villains? And
like, who do you pick? I mean, there's so many. So they have to go through that process, and I guess they're going to salute some of them on Sunday.
But again, how are they going to draw us back in? When's the last time? Well, you watch these sometimes. I'm out.
I do just hear the production value. Yeah. I'm not necessarily interested in who wins or loses.
Yeah.
I'm always just more interested in what happens or what social aspect is inflated.
I think we're also separated in our viewing with streaming and the proliferation of all these different platforms. Whereas what will still bring us all together? Some of these iconic characters that everyone used to know.
Right.
Right. So that actually spoke to me for a second.
Okay,
so
very, Happy Days, you'll be excited.
Probably deliberate. I was never a huge Happy Days fan. I know that's sacrilege here in Milwaukee.
We're getting past that.
Right.
You know how I feel about that, like hanging on to something from 50 years ago.
We do it very well here. 6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Heard of the top of the hour news, or bottom of the hour news, I should say. Milwaukee Jewish Federation is slamming a new mural that's gone up on a building on Milwaukee's near north side with an image of a swastika intertwined with the Star of David. It's a striking piece that also has the words, "The irony of becoming what you once hated." I've not seen it in person. We've seen pictures. A number of the news stations have picked this up as well, of the mural on this building. It's at Holton and Locust, just north of downtown. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports the building is owned by a Palestinian-American landlord who's been outspoken against the ongoing war in Gaza. Quoted in JS, "This mural is not intended to actually change anything on the ground in Israel and Gaza. It has no capacity to do that. It's only meant to be hurtful to our Holocaust survivors who see it." That's Miriam Rosenzweig, president of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. A lot of mixed feelings on this story, E. First, in whether even bringing it up is a disservice as opposed to a piece of news.
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past with other similar situations.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way when we do stories about, racist flyers pop up in a neighborhood, or, you know, a kid says something stupid that gets posted on social media, a racial slur, and then all the media go to the school and say, "What's the problem in this community with the racism?" You know, like, does even talking about it just raise and elevate
something that's one person may not have never right. even known or thought of?
That said, I mean, this is there. It is happening. Yeah. It's controversial. So we bring it to your attention this morning. Understanding there are reasonable people, including many Jews here whom I know and have talked with, and in Israel as well, who have differing opinions on how the Israeli state continues to respond to the October 7th terror attacks, and the fact that more than 100 hostages are still being held. Also a big believer in free speech. I feel like we've gone too far in many instances of suppressing what
sure.
someone somewhere brands hate speech, and then nobody can talk. I believe the country was founded on the idea of let everybody talk. And if someone is hateful in their right. heart, let them say their piece. And you beat that with a more learned ideology. You beat that with your speech.
It's just jarring when you see a giant Nazi symbol.
Well, so then there's that. Like, shouldn't that be retired? Can't get to a point where that hate symbol, something like a swastika, is somehow like normalized and you just get used to seeing it. Yeah. So the point's well taken. I don't know. Legally, is there any recourse to make the building owner take it down? Whether there should be?
I was going to say, I doubt it. And a lot of free speech activists, regardless of how they feel of this mural, would say the same thing, that you should not be able to take it down, force it down. I mean.
Right. So that's a story to watch, whether or not there are continued protests about it. We'll see if and for how long it remains at Holton and Locust in Milwaukee. 6:45, sports up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers fans waking up with a little buzz. Brewers buzz is back.
That's a new buzz. What, did your guy lose his razor?
It's a heavier buzz. Using?
Oh, it's a heavier buzz.
The buzz is growing.
Strategic.
Several months ago, Lane Grindle said this about Jackson Chourio.
Major League Baseball has been put on notice.
Well, now they know for sure who this guy is. Chourio making history Thursday night.
Pitch to Chourio, fly ball right field. Back goes Yastrzemski, staring and gone! Jackson Chourio, liftoff, a two-run home run, is 2020 at the age of 20.
2020 at the age of 20. 20 home runs, 20 steals, 20 years old, history made. That put them up 3-0. They would go on to shut out the Giants 3-0. If you want to hear that again, that's, who is that? Ken Sommerfeld in the background?
Right, at least one Brewers fan there.
Right, listen there. Who is that in the background?
Back goes Yastrzemski, staring and gone!
Hey,
Jackson Chourio, left off! A two-run home
in the booth?
It sounds
like he's
like
right underneath them.
Anyway, super exciting to see that. Murphy and the crew, very excited for Chourio.
20 homers and 20 steals as a 20-year-old kid. And then, from what I understand, he was younger than the other two that are in that same category. So it's like the youngest kid ever to go 2020 in Major League Baseball. What a just an incredible accomplishment.
Got a huge weekend series coming up next against the Diamondbacks in Phoenix. It starts tonight right here on WTMJ.
At some point, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur will end the coy back and forth and just rule his number one quarterback out for Sunday's game, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Whatever that game is, right? Jordan Love expected to miss at least this coming game, if not several, due to that MCL injury. And based on what we're hearing from ESPN's Jen Latta, the Packers' defense under new coordinator Jeff Hafley better be pretty special.
Struggles with football.
That is the scouting report that Latta was getting when she contacted sources familiar with our backup guy, Malik Willis.
Struggles with football.
Likely to start Sunday. Apparently, they're saying that, you know, the guy's an athlete, but he's just not real good at playing football. We just traded for him with the Tennessee Titans. Latta says folks there think the dude's not very good.
Has issues diagnosing what is happening in front of him. Struggles to operate. Takes a lot of unnecessary sacks. He had never called plays in a huddle before he came to the NFL.
It's not funny. Stop it.
Let's go defense, right?
Come on.
Packers and
the
Colts.
The defense could be good, too, on Sunday, by the way.
It could be. Noon kick at Lambeau on Sunday.
Speaking of football, Bills roll the Dolphins 31-10. The big story, though, right now is Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback for the Dolphins. Another concussion. That's his third in 3 years. Lots of talk about what's going to happen with his future after another concussion.
And what is that name, Mr. Cobb?
Alabama.
And what do we say?
And the fourth-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide roll into Wisconsin Saturday for the first time since 1928. That's an 11 a.m. kick for the Badgers and Alabama at Camp Randall. At 6:54, bringing our friend from ESPN Milwaukee, Gabe Neitzel. Are you to the bottom of Kringlegate yet?
I have not gotten to the bottom of Kringlegate.
I've assigned you.
Yeah.
What had happened was, right here at the end of the show, when was it, Wednesday?
Yes.
Company-wide email goes out. Hey, there's going to be Kringle upstairs in, you know, our common space or cafeteria. And I'm slightly ashamed to admit that actually brightened my mood.
Yeah. We looked forward to it.
Agreed. 4 minutes later. Actually, there's no Kringle.
Actually, there will not be Kringle.
Because we went to go unveil the Kringle and it was not there. Apparently, somebody had placed it out on the counter overnight, I'm assuming to thaw, because a lot of times when you get the Kringle, it's frozen and you want it to thaw out. And the Kringle was no longer present, which led to an email from the general manager, our market manager here of all the station, that ended with hashtag save the Kringle, asking the person or persons responsible to return the Kringle, which at that point, I just assumed the Kringle was gone.
But we should point out, though, it wasn't just like one Kringle. It was like 10 sheets.
A box of 10.
Yeah. It was 10 Kringle.
Well, yeah, proceed.
10 Kringle. Three of which returned yesterday anonymously on a desk in our office. So three of the 10 were returned. Whatever happened to the other seven, you know, probably pour one out for them because they're no longer with us.
And speaking of shame, regardless of my lack of knowledge over chain of custody, I still dipped into that Kringle.
Yeah, no, I did not. I was
and I'm not sorry.
I saw it sitting there. I'm like, I don't know where this Kringle's been.
Pass.
I don't know where. I cannot confirm where this Kringle has been. I cannot trust it. I'm out.
Didn't care. Good for me.
Hey, look.
I got mine.
Look. You ended up winning. You're still here yeah, today.
I've
You're standing.
Suffered no ill effects.
Yeah, there's no, you know, nothing wrong with you.
So does this story now come to a pleasant conclusion, or is there still investigation to be had? Do we find
out
ever?
I feel like we're in a three strikes, you're out policy. This is the third time something's gone missing in this office in the last, like, 6 months, 7 months.
You know, you probably
that's been returned too.
Well, I don't think the gift card was returned. There was a $250 gift card that went missing out of somebody's desk. I do not believe that was returned. However, a pizza oven that was taken. Yes, a pizza oven that was part of a prize pack that me and Greg Magic put together through our friends at Palermo's for a winner for a prize. A pizza oven went missing, but then was apparently returned.
Anonymously.
Yeah, anonymously returned.
So workplaces everywhere deal with this, right? The stuff in the fridge that goes missing.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know,
right.
Or I had my salad dressing over at TMJ4 for a long time, like, had this big jug of ranch. And then I'd come back and be like, I swear I shouldn't be this low on the ranch.
Sure. Well, here's the thing, though.
Community ranch.
So yeah, that happens at everybody's office.
Condiments in the refrigerator, unless you got a name on it, those tend to end up being for the entire office use.
I just started writing, this is poison on it.
Oh, great.
Poison.
Rat poison.
Eat it your own right. Rat poison.
Did that work? Did people stop using the ranch? Especially ranch in Wisconsin, man. Like, that's people.
How poisonous is it? Right? I mean, I really need some ranch.
Hey, before you go, who wins Sunday?
The Colts.
Don't say that.
Yeah, Malik Willis. Jen, I believe she shared with you yesterday, one of the scouting reports she dragged up was Malik Willis struggles with football. And unless they change the game they're playing at Lambeau Field on Sunday, that's not a good omen.
Oh, no.
How about Saturday? Bucky, any chance?
Roll Tide.
Oh, no.
Okay. Great to see you.
Yeah. Glad I could brighten your day.
Struggles with football.